Christopher Cooling. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
Excellent, Chris. Welcome to the show. My name is Mark. I'm your other host. And this is a phenomenal our first two-part episode. Pretty phenomenal. Little House on the Prairie is really kind of popular for the two-part episode, the To Be Continued.
Yes. Yeah, there were a number of those.
The name of this episode is There's No Place Like Home, Part 1.
Part 2. Oh, I wonder where they got that title from.
I don't know. I wasn't sure what to expect when I first put this episode on again. I didn't know if there was a lot of tough stuff going on right here in the world of the Ingalls family. You know, yes. They're living in Winoka. Is that right? Mm-hmm.
That's right.
The times have been kind of rough with the Ingalls and, everybody in Plum Creek and Walnut Grove. It's been a tough
yes,
time.
Yes, a number of the characters up and moved.
Even
and
the all wealthier.
All decided to move to the same town.
Which is,
imagine.
you go and you move with, like, you know, people that... You act like you really can't stand half the time, but they all love each other.
Even the Olsons couldn't make it without all the families there to be their customers. So,
no, and Nels is wonderful in this episode. He's actually my favorite character.
Oh yeah, we get to see some things. This might be the only episode where something like this happens.
Absolutely. Well, a number of things happen with him, but you know, let's. I say we oh, get yes, into the right. clips, we jump right into the story and see what's going on. I mean, again, we're in the big city. You know, mm-hmm. there's a new character being introduced to us, Albert. Right. I always will butcher his last name, Matthew Leberto.
Yeah, that's probably close enough. The producers spell his name differently from time to time. So,
oh, really?
I
didn't notice that.
Yeah. Is it Laborito or is it Laberto? Or, you know, sometimes they've got a Y in there. Sometimes they don't. So,
as somebody with a difficult last name, I not only give room for pronouncing things incorrectly, I do my best to pronounce them correctly when, you know, it's another person's name. But that one's just, it's pretty tough.
Yeah, Albert's been around for about 5 episodes now, so they introduced him in episode 1 of season 5.
Well, that's when he played a young Michael Landon. Well, a young Charles
No,
Ingalls.
That's where they introduced the character of Albert, when they moved to Winoka.
Wait, you said season 1.
Oh, I'm sorry if I said that. I'm in episode 1 of season 5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But prior to that, he did play a young yes. Charles Ingalls.
That's right.
So he pops up here and there. They really wanted to find a good spot for him, I'm assuming. And here it is.
Mm-hmm.
So he's an orphan who lives on the streets and getting into fights here and there. He's gambling here and there. We're going to play a little clip of him kind of at a tough point because his gambling isn't doing so well. So here we go.
Come on, let me go! Let go!
Hey, leave him be. You heard me, leave him be.
And make him give me what he owes me.
What's it all about?
He lost 20 cents to me rolling dice, and he don't want to pay.
That the truth?
Yeah. But it's not fair. He won't give me a chance to win it back. Because 20 cents is all you got.
Albert, I want you to pay him.
Oh, Mr. Ingalls.
Just pay him.
Let's go. We'll be late for school.
Pretty much the only father this poor child has is this guy who just kind of popped up out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty sad. I love this character. I love the Albert character. I always did. But I really like his living on the streets type of thing. He lives under the stairs.
Yeah, I loved that when I was a kid. He lives under the stairs.
It looks cozy. We didn't see it in the rain, but it does look cozy.
So, he had a light and everything.
Yeah, he had a lantern. He could just pack up and go in 5 minutes.
That's right. So he's shooting dice.
He's shooting
hanging
dice.
Out with the bad boys.
With the rich kids.
Yeah. But Mr. Standish's son.
Yeah, Mr. Standish, he's a good guy. so what happens is we get to another part where they're about to release lottery numbers. Excuse me. And there's this character, bit of a rough looking, not really rough looking, but a bit rough to look at. He's a kind of a guy down on his luck, Toby. And
yeah, he has sort of a hobo vibe to him.
Yeah, definitely. And what happens is he realizes, well, I mean, I don't want to step on the whole story if you want to tell some of this.
We're sort of like just thrown into a story. I don't know if you got that kind of feeling. There was no build up to anything. You're just like thrown into the middle of the city and we have things going on. And all of a sudden this man appears, and you're like, well, what is happening here?
Right. They're all saying, give me the number.
It took me for quite a while to figure out, okay, so it's a lottery.
I didn't even know lotteries existed back then in that level of winnings.
Yeah. I didn't look it up, but, I suppose who would have been running this lottery? I mean, did they have the state lottery? I mean, and they had to telegram the numbers or something? Telegraph them? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm assuming it was a telegraph or a phone. Well, yeah, it was.
And they were announced right there before they were even published in the paper.
Which is really interesting. You know, so essentially he wins a bundle. He wins $5,000.
Yeah.
It's a tremendous sum of money. I mean, I'd be happy to win $5,000 today. But to win it back then, we're talking, I mean, what would that be? I'm not really sure.
It's about $100,000.
I mean, $100,000. And back then, you didn't pay tax unless you owned property.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he wins. He's won the big jackpot. And he is the man with the cash. And we go on quickly to the next little story. There's a lot of little stories going on in this particular episode. It's interesting because part one, it seems it's a very active episode, and part two is really the payoff, but it's a very slow moving episode in comparison. I think it's a lot more depressing.
Yes. It's a totally different vibe to it. Absolutely.
It's like old school Little House on the Prairie in the part two. They have a makeshift school for the kids who, I guess, can't afford to go to prep schools. And like the other kids who are clearly well-to-do, they're all dressed in uniforms. And Alice is teaching, which is pretty awesome. And here we go. We have the children trying to generate some funds for a fireworks show coming for the July 4th celebration.
45. 55 cents.
Well, that's a start.
Can't buy much fireworks with 55 cents. We need a bunch of money.
Well, there's plenty of ways to raise money. Now, we'll make some posters announcing the fireworks display and ask for donations.
How come the town doesn't do it like Walnut Grove?
Oh, I don't know, Andy. The city fathers just never have.
Well, it's not very patriotic of them. It's their country, too.
Bad for business is why.
What?
It's bad for business. It's a big holiday and, well, lots of folks coming down to gamble. It's them gambling places. They don't want the fireworks because folks have to go out of town to see them.
And Albert is 100% correct. So he's really schooling the school teacher.
Albert, who's been to business school.
Exactly. The kid's a genius. And
spends
you might
his time in the alley gambling.
Exactly. You might ask yourself how much it would cost to furnish fireworks. So who better to ask in town than Mr. Olson?
Mr. Olson.
Oh, hi, kids.
We wanted to ask you a question.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, we're trying to raise money for a big fireworks show for the 4th of July, and we wanted to know how much one cost. One like the one we had in Walnut Grove.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. That was a good one. That must have cost, $50 maybe.
$50. All we got so far is 55 cents.
Yeah, keep rubbing it in, kid. It's like, all we got so far, blah, blah, blah. And that was at wholesale. So that's pretty sad. These kids are trying to do something nice. And we are introduced very quickly to Nell's boss, which is a weird thing because Nell's is usually the boss. And I'm forgetting his name all of a sudden. You knew his name. You said it before.
Well, we'll find out in the clip.
Am I playing the clip? Oh, is that one of your clips? All right. I was going to skip over. All right. Hold on. Here we go.
Oh, yes, sir. I don't pay you to spend the day talking to the likes of them. Yes, sir. Bar top needs polishing. Get to. All right. All right, what? All right, Mr. Standish.
So we have Mr. Standish, who is, just a tough business guy, but then you really learn that the guy's kind of a real jerk. So the kids are just kind of looking at him dumbfounded, kind of like with that why do you have to be so mean kind of look. So this is what kind of happens, and it creates an entire whirlwind of pain for the Ingalls.
What are you looking at?
Not much, Mr. Standish.
I've had about enough of your mouth, little one.
Uh-oh. He's going to tell your pa.
Oh, my pa won't take nothing from him. Come on, let's go around back and listen.
All right, let's go back and listen. Like, I don't know. I guess it's a different mentality when your dad is his own boss, you know, on the farm. But here, this is what happens when your kid mouths off to Mr. Standish.
Ingalls.
Yes, sir.
Is your wife here?
Yes, sir. Is something wrong?
Just get her.
Carolyn, Mr. Standish wants to see you.
Mr. Standish?
Now, I put you two to work although you had no hotel experience. I figured that perhaps
Mr.
you must...
Mr. Standish, we have been trying. If anything's wrong...
What's wrong is your little one, the redhead. What's her name?
Laura?
Yes, that's her name, exactly. She's been sassing me, and she bullies my son.
Well, what a terrible thing to say, especially back then, that this girl is bullying my son.
Yeah.
So essentially he says, if this girl cannot be put in line, you're fired. And there's really nowhere else to work in this town. The guy owns the town. So Laura, of course, has to fight back a little bit. It goes back and forth. You know, it's really tough for a lot of us as fans to watch this because Charles Ingalls is the great dad and he respects everyone, and to deal with somebody who offers such a small amount of respect, if any respect, is really tough. Later on in the day, Laura is talking to Ma, and she's kind of confused as to why Pa let him be spoken to in that manner. And here's that.
Laura, your Pa didn't mean to be harsh with you today.
Then why was he? I didn't do anything wrong. That Jeb Standish is a brat and a bully and a lot of other things I can't even say.
I know.
And Pa let his father talk to him like he was dirt. Like that Simon Legree in the book talking to a slave. I was ashamed of Pa.
Don't you ever say that. Not ever.
She basically goes off on her saying, you know, you are just completely disrespecting your father by saying that. It's a disgusting thing to say. And it is. It's a pretty harsh thing. For her to say she's ashamed of Pa, pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So everybody kind of gets along. You know, we move on, of course. And we find out that the next day, actually, I'm not even sure if it is the next day, but they're at the hotel, in the front of the hotel, and Toby walks in, the big winner. And Toby comes in and he kind of throws his money around. He's holding it like a real idiot.
My goodness. I thought somebody was going to rob him and he's going to be finding himself in the alley.
He's leaving his pile of money around.
Yes. He left it on the counter.
It's unbelievable, actually. And he's forgetful and it's just really terrible. But he's got a good heart. And
we should say who Toby is played by. Get a play off of our episode title. He was played by the legendary Ray Bolger.
Right.
Who, of course, was in Wizard of Oz.
And it's funny because when you see him, you're like, where do I know him? Where do I know him? Where do I know him? And then it kind of clicks.
Yeah.
I think it's a really, he is a really wonderful actor. Was a wonderful actor. And I think that he fits this really perfectly. What did he, I didn't look up what he did after The Wizard of Oz.
Well, basically he became a character actor. Okay. After Wizard of Oz, I mean, and we got to remember that was 1939.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're in, what is this? 1978. So
yeah, we're talking 40 years different.
You know, after he was in Wizard of Oz and, that other holiday, the holiday film, Babes in Toyland. Those were his two big roles theatrically. And he sort of got relegated to the character actor that appeared on television. And it's Ray Bolger. You know, so we saw him in all kinds of 60s and 70s shows like Nanny and the Professor and The Partridge Family, The Love Boat.
Oh, you did an episode of Battlestar Galactica from 79.
Yes, that's right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and of course, you know, he made the rounds. He was on Fantasy Island a couple of times and on Different Strokes. So he sort of lived off of the Wizard of Oz for the rest of his career.
Well, there's no shame in that.
No.
So what he does is he turns to Laura, and this is the conversation he has with her.
The one I want to see. Rumor has it that you young ones don't have a fireworks show on the 4th.
Well, we did, but...
But nothing. I've already been over to the general store and placed the order. It's paid in full.
You're joking.
Toby Nolan never jokes, except about his last name. We got a wagon load. It'll be the biggest 4th of July this side of St. Louis.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Nolan. Everybody thanks you.
Oh, forget it. And you can call me Toby. You see, the shipment arrives on the 3rd. Now, what we got to do is find somebody who can handle the fuses. Make them work, bang.
I've had some experience with them.
Good enough.
I gotta go tell Ma. Thanks again, Toby.
Glad I could do it. Good night, Charles.
Good night, thanks, Toby.
Now, he's got a good heart, so immediately you really like this guy, and I think you like the guy to the end. He just becomes a sad sack.
Yeah, you don't know. He disappears. We don't know what happens to Toby.
Oh, I know what happens to him.
Albert takes him home, whatever that means. It didn't seem like he really anywhere, but
I was going to clip it, but it's so difficult to understand a word he's saying. It's
Yes.
So what happens is they create a flyer, they're putting it up, and they're hammering the flyer in front of Mr. Standish's hotel, and he's basically, of course, upset about this. What is this? You know? He's like the male version of Harriet. What is this? And takes it down and basically complains to Ingalls about it. Finds out that Ingalls is going to be the person who is going to light the fireworks. And basically puts a monkey wrench in that. I mean, the guy is just like an awesome individual. What follows that is my favorite part of this entire thing. But there is one little moment because there's a scene with Toby where you just cannot believe what he's doing. He's invited to do some gambling with Mr. Standish, and Mr. Standish is rich. I think partially because of his extremely shrewd business sense, but also because of his gambling skills. So it's a really bad idea for anybody to really gamble with this guy. So what do we see? We see a very drunk, a very intoxicated Toby, bright-eyed, and he's got cards in his hand. But here's the,
For Ken?
3 sixes. Well, afraid that cleans out, Toby.
Oh. You gotta give me a chance to get even.
No, Marcus. I'm sorry. Tell you what I'll do. What'd you pay for those fireworks you have in the alley?
$100.
I'll cut your high card for it, huh? Oh, come along, your luck might just change, huh?
Final last words.
All right.
So he brings a queen out, which of course is beats a jack. So he just gambled away the equivalent of what, $100,000?
Yeah,
you said.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I mean, and I'm sure tonight somebody's in Vegas doing the same type of damage. And I just could not personally do that. I think I've gambled here and there, but nothing to this extent.
You see that with people that
they have addictive personalities,
or they're just not used to or able to handle the kind of funds that we're talking about.
Right.
There are innumerable stories about people that won the lottery, got a GoFundMe, et cetera, et cetera. Were homeless. They were living in their car or whatever. And they think, oh, I'm set now. I have $10,000, or whatever, $50,000. And before you know it, it's completely gone because they don't know how to manage things correctly. Mm-hmm. And, they're not set for life. They have to now go out and live life and get a job and things. But that's just one of those stories that, somebody, it's an easy, that's why they say easy come, easy go.
Right, it's like a self-sabotage type situation with a lot of people. It's a shame.
Get to the real treat of the episode.
This is my favorite in the whole world. So, Nels is fed up with this place. He's the boss. Come on, he's a well-respected man who gives a lot of respect to everyone. And he does not like his boss. And, I think that he had a few. What do you think?
Olson, you carry those crates in the alley up to my store.
Do it yourself.
What?
I said do it yourself.
Are you drunk?
I don't care if I'm drunk or sober. I still tell you to do it yourself. And don't tell me that you fire me. I quit.
I owe you $20. There. All right, Fred, I'll handle the bar.
So he basically, in a remarkable way, he's getting wasted in a way that we've never seen Nels get wasted.
I don't think he paid for all those drinks either.
It seems like nobody's paying for drinks. I think as long as you're gambling, it's okay to drink, just like in a regular casino. If you go and sit down at a Bellagio or any of they'll just keep serving you. So basically I'm not sure. You know, it's really hard to say. Now, Nels is walking out with his pay, and he runs into Harriet.
Where did you get that money?
It's my pay. I quit.
What?
Why does everybody say what? Everybody go deaf?
But shh. Now you stop that and you listen to me.
No more. No more listening. No more noise. No more of this place.
Nails, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about going back home where I belong. I want to go fishing. I want quiet.
Well, you leave and you leave alone.
I'll say goodbye to the children in the morning.
My favorite line right there. He's just willing to walk away from it all. I love Nels.
Yep.
So, what happens? Nels is he's distraught. He doesn't want to be there. There's a very long conversation with Mary and Pa, which I'm just not going to go into, and hopefully you're not going to crucify me for that.
I don't want to leave you.
Yeah, I mean, it's sweet. It's
Pa,
hard.
I have to live my own life. I'll be fine. Okay.
Yeah, that's it. You just, yeah, you summed it up beautifully. And meanwhile, back at the casino. Nell's got about 3 pounds of money. I'd say paper money.
Yeah, it's a big stack.
He's just letting it ride. And he's in, I guess, this isn't a roulette wheel, it's a wheel of fortune, right?
It's not roulette. Roulette is
I think it's a wheel of fortune type situation.
Right. It's roulette is the one that's inset in a on
with
a
the
table.
Marble.
Yeah. They don't do this one, I mean, anymore. What is this thing called?
Well, they do the Wheel of Fortune in casinos, where they, you know, you can you press the button and it spins and all that kind of stuff. And there's a flapper on top, and when the it's just like Wheel of Fortune, except this is upright. And he's just letting it run and run and run. His luck is not running out. He's winning a lot of money. So much money that we kind of forget about him because it's just kind of, it's obscene how much, you know, he's doing well, he's wasted. He's like, he's trying to lose the money, which I think is, kind of funny in a really great way. We have in the next scene that I think that's worthy of playing is the firework scene. So we did learn earlier that Standish won this $100 with the fireworks, which is probably the equivalent of a warehouse, probably crates and crates and crates of this stuff. So what happened? Standish's kid that we met earlier, who was gambling with Albert, is going to, I don't know, light one off, I'll say, and it kind of gets out of hand.
Yeah.
He takes it off the wall. He has, like, you know, it has the lamp oil.
You sure your Pa won't get mad?
Nah, he's got plenty. We'll just shoot off this one. Look out.
There are barrels of gunpowder and whiskey and dynamite.
Yes, nothing bad will happen.
No.
What do we do?
Oh, I don't know. I gotta get my Pa.
Exactly. I don't know. So the fireworks are going off. Standish's hotel is up in flames in a matter of a minute. One of the things that is really kind of interesting is Nels is still gambling. It's phenomenal. He's at the Wheel of Fortune, and now his... he has more money than what Standish won. He has definitely more than $5,000 there. If those are 20s.
You think so? Well, I don't know. It's enough for Harriet to go shopping and get all those boxes of stuff.
Sure, to wake somebody up at 5 a.m. to go. But there's sparks flying. It's a really hilarious scene. What happens is Standish is basically yelling, and, you know, we need water. So here's what happens when you do that and you're a greedy person.
Wrong.
What do you mean it doesn't work?
It doesn't work. City Fathers wouldn't spend the money on a new one. You're one of them. You ought to know it.
Give me some buckets of water. Water!
So, you know, karma right away, right? I thought that this was even slightly uncharacteristic of Charles and Jonathan, but here's what happens when Standish runs to them.
It's a water!
I think you're forgetting, mister. I don't work for you anymore.
What? In gold, water.
Just call me Charles. That don't work for you anymore either.
What? Somebody form a line. Somebody form a line.
What time do we start home tomorrow?
What time are we starting home?
You heard me, we.
6 o'clock, too early?
6 o'clock's great. Farmers love to get up early.
So it's really great. They made the decision. They're out of there. City life is not for them.
I don't think any in the whole running around with there was nothing short of a modern fire truck going to put that business out. There wasn't no buckets going.
No.
That was on the second floor. How are they going to get it? I mean, it's like that thing is burning down. Okay. Yeah.
And you know what? That entire place is made of three materials.
Yeah. Like wood, unfinished metal, wood. And glass. Yeah.
Yeah. That's going. And like very flammable curtains.
It's all dried up wood too, because it's been up there for years. So, exactly. And the boards are split and everything. That thing's going up.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it. So that concludes part one. Unless you want me to play and you want to play the ending little thing here. I'm going to play the clip.
Yes.
Sorry.
If I had a remembrance book, I would write down that this was the most exciting night of my life. Not because of the fireworks, but because we were going home.
Whoa, those explosions. Jeez.
So, yay, we haven't had the Laura having a remembrance book for quite a while, so.
Yeah, and her life was
kind of a callback to the early episodes.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that she is finally enjoying life again. So, and I'm just queuing up episode two real quick. This is an episode, for those of you who are listening, where we're going to fly by this one. And ironically enough, this episode is about 40% longer.
Yeah, it originally aired. It was just an extra long episode. I think it was. It's possibly it was 90 minutes when it originally aired.
Yeah, and although it's an important episode, it's a very, very drawn out and visual episode. A lot of farming going on.
Yes, lots of like montages and people walking
and a lot of sad stuff.
Things
too.
Like that.
So here we go. They're having breakfast, just like they were going to before, and Nels has a wonderful hangover. Here you go.
Anyone for more coffee?
Please, thank you.
I wonder if Harriet will ever get back from shopping.
How much money did you win last night, Mr. Olson?
Laura?
Tell you the truth, Laura, I don't know. Harriet counted it and hid it. Must have been quite a sum, though. She woke the lady up at the clothing store at 5 o'clock this morning to shop for the trip.
Can't wait to see Walnut Grove again.
I can't either, son.
First thing I'm going to do is go fishing. Alone. Where it's quiet.
I think...
So, it's awesome. I'm really glad they have all decided at the same exact time to not only move to this city, but to move out of the city.
Well, to be fair, the fire has a lot with it.
Sure,
I mean, yeah. Nels's job is gone. It doesn't look like the hotel part burned down because wasn't that like the next building over?
Mm-hmm.
But the casino with the upstairs. So I don't know. It's kind of unclear what actually, because they're having dinner or they're having breakfast right there in the hotel where they've been working.
Yeah. So it's hard to say like what exactly is going on.
But Nels and Harriet's job's gone until that's rebuilt.
Yeah. Do you have a plane going over?
There is indeed.
Oh, okay. No, I picked that up. I usually have the planes going over because I have JFK. I was
kind of surprised. Yeah.
So what we have is we have a conversation between Charles and Albert where he's basically saying goodbye to Albert. It's a little bit boring. So I'm going to fast forward past that a little bit. Actually, it's funny. We clipped the same thing. I clipped the 15 seconds prior. So you get a little bit more with my clip, but it is your entire clip. But here we go.
I think sometimes men tell their women folk that things wouldn't be fair to them because they don't want to shoulder the responsibility themselves. Now, if you don't think you can handle it, just say so.
I was thinking about it.
And this is where Charles is basically playing around with the idea of adopting Albert, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And he's all alone here. We know he's not going to go to school anymore, and he lives under that loading dock, and he pretends that he likes it, and we know that he doesn't. And if he did come to live with us, he'd pull his own weight. He's a good worker.
Charles, you don't have to convince me. I'm the one that told you to ask him.
So Charles runs, and I'm going to play that scene because I think it's a nice scene where he basically asks. It's a little bit of a long scene, actually. But, you know what? I think we can sum it up. Do you want to sum it up? The next scene? With when he basically asks Albert to move in with them.
Yeah, so Charles visits Albert in the under the stairs and tries to sell Albert on coming to live in Walnut Grove. And it is... He sort of goes through the whole thing. He just tried to sell Carolyn on it, and now he's selling it to Albert. The idea that it's a favor, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a favor to me. Albert wants to say yes immediately, but he knows that Albert is a scared kid.
If you give me free child labor, you can live in our house.
Exactly. It's pretty awesome. So I'm gonna fast forward right to where they're right back at Plum Creek. And they're walking into the little house. You know, they made their journey. They left. They're back home.
See? Look up there. That's where we sleep in the loft. And see, here, look. Pa put in a pump in and everything. Pa, the pump's broken.
Don't worry about it, darling. Just needs to be primed.
Well, it sure is dirty.
We'll start cleaning up in a minute. First, I want everybody to just listen. Just listen.
I don't hear anything. Except maybe a bird.
That's just the point. It's quiet. For the first time in months, it's really quiet.
Not for long. No, I'm... And... So they settle in pretty quickly, too. Laura is going to be sharing the loft with Albert, which makes sense. And I think they're about to go to sleep for the first time while sharing a room.
Mm-hmm.
And Albert learns a little something about Laura.
Knew it. I just knew it.
So she's snoring, of course. They venture into town. Well, I guess Charles and Jonathan venture into town the next day to discover everything is basically filthy and neglected. The school, school slash church. People just stop going. No money, no reason to go into town, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hansen, unfortunately, suffered a stroke, which is just awful. I have that clip, which... Well, we're going to learn from Doc what happened.
Can we visit with him, Doc?
Surely. Fixed a room for him upstairs, so I keep an eye on him. It's going to look different to you. A lot different. He won't do for himself. Or let me, for that matter. He almost... Like the town.
So if it weren't for Doc, I'd say that Hansen would be dead. Hansen's holding on barely. You know, the guy suffered a stroke. He's one of the town elders, right? You were talking about this in a previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
About the town.
Yeah, he's the founder of the town.
Which is just you know, it's a really important thing, you know, and it's he really kind of, you know, stayed with the town just like, I guess, a captain with the ship. So there is a very, very long clip of him talking, which I think he basically, the entire script is a rambling mess. Basically him being upset that the town isn't what it is anymore, and he says that Walnut Grove is dead. Which is just hard, you know, it's heartbreaking. Is, you know, this man once, you know, like you said, he founded this town or helped found it, and it's not so great anymore. So, they basically decide to start cleaning up the town, which is what Charles and Jonathan do best. You know, they make things better again.
Yeah, and they go around trying to recruit everybody to help.
Yeah. So we get back to the little house, and...
Grandma. Covered a lot of miles today.
I wish I felt better about it.
You did your best.
I don't understand what's happening to folks. Like Mr. Morgan. He was so proud of our town. I was sure he would help. But all he said was that he wanted to be alone.
Some people are going to help.
Well, all the kids wanted to help. Even Bobby Joe Bean was happy that we were going to have school again, and he hated school.
A lot of times we think we don't like something till we don't have it for a while.
Yeah. Like watermelon. You eat it all summer long until you hate it.
Just like watermelon. we have, I think it's a kind of funny thing because the snoring thing is kind of a recurring joke immediately. Albert tries to convince Laura to stay up late so that he can fall asleep. So here's some of that.
Laura?
What?
Why don't you stay awake for a while?
Why should I? I'm tired.
Well, you see, if you'd stay awake a little while, I can go to sleep fast, and I wouldn't hear you snore. I can go to sleep real quick, and while you just think about stuff to keep you awake. Like rats, or snakes, or monsters, or... Just my luck. Nothing keeps her awake.
Just like our listeners. Snoring. So what we have next is things starting to kind of come together. We have the men in the town and the kids, and they're all trying to clean everything up, and it's really kind of coming together. And Nels comes into town with some interesting news.
Hey, I got a load of seed in the other wagon.
Oh, great.
Hey, did you happen to see the Reverend Alden?
Yeah, I saw him.
Well, what'd he say? Can he come?
Nothing can stop him. He'll be here this Sunday.
Hey, well, this Sunday, we gotta get the church fixed up. Hey, everybody, we're gonna have service this Sunday. Come on, let's get it fixed up. Let's go.
So it's really the one thing that was always weird growing up, being a Jewish person, is seeing, you know, all these people with church and how pastors or he's a pastor, right? He's not, or reverend, maybe.
Yeah, they call him Reverend Olive.
Yeah, he's reverend. And one thing I always had a lot of respect for is in Little House, the way they really respected, they might not respect the religion itself, it seemed, but it seemed as though the religion really brought them together as a unit. And that's something I always took away from Little House, is a kind of a nice thing. Which I think small towns really genuinely did rely on.
Well, it was the center of the community.
Yeah, and
so I mean, the building itself was town hall and school and church. So I mean, it was the one building that brought everyone together.
So all the kids are running. Everybody's getting excited. And here we have a little bit of Harriet and the kids.
All right, let's get going. Ellie, Willie, come on, you live in this town too. Let's get to work.
Mother said it's too hot and we should stay in the shade.
I don't care what your mother said. You get off your butts and get to work. Now!
I heard that, Nels Olsen. How dare you say you don't care what I say?
Oh, shut up.
But shut up! You shut up! Dare you tell me to shut up? Since when do you wear the pants in this family? I'd like to...
Since I got this!
Oh, my God!
Get to work, woman! No!
That looks like a sling blade or a Kaiser blade.
Some people call it a Kaiser blade.
Exactly. That's pretty much what it is, right? It's to cut down very large.
It's a small handheld one.
Yeah, small handheld one. Which is pretty much what I think he used in the movie Sling Blade. So, what do we have now? We have so much more. They clean. Hansen gets worse and worse.
And they fix the church up because they find out the Reverend Alden is coming, as we just heard, and the community is coming back together.
So what do? They start ringing the bell, right? Because this is the way you get the town to kind of come into town. And Hansen hears it. He comes out of bed for probably the first time in forever. And he's leaning out the window.
It's a miracle.
Mr. Hansen.
This town. You see the town?
I see it. You gotta get back into bed.
No. I'm going to get dressed. You help me. I go to church.
No, Reverend Alden will stop by and see you after the service.
No. You help me, or I manage for myself.
Please, Mr.
Hansen. Don't argue. I am not only your elder, I am your boss.
Yes, sir.
Nice nightgown. And so Jonathan helps him get dressed, and, you know, they go to church, which is pretty awesome. He comes walking down the street struggling, just like anybody else who have suffered this type of trauma. And everybody's watching, and as he approaches the church, you see friendly faces, you see Reverend Alden there. The town looks like the town again, which is, you know, it's the lump in the throat that everyone knows about when you watch Little House on most of these episodes.
A good Lord's Day to you, Lars.
And to you, Reverend. To all of you, I am going to pray to God to forgive me for not believing enough in him and in you, in the 50 years that I have been here in Walnut Grove, I have never been as proud as I am right now. May God bless all of you.
Let's sing of our joy as we enter the church this morning. May the whole world know the joy we feel. Joy to the world.
Joy to the world indeed.
2 months early.
Exactly. It's a little too warm out to be singing Joy to the World. We have another thing at the end with Laura basically summarizing her thoughts, her little diary or... I'm sorry, I'm trying to get to exactly the...
Yeah, Laura wraps everything up for us at the end.
And here we go.
4 months later.
Ah, sorry. Spoiler alert if you... Might be a little early on this, but...
Four months later, Mr. Hansen passed away quietly in his sleep. He died happy, Doc said, because he knew the town he loved would live on. And so would the name and memory of Mr. Hansen.
So that's the end. That's the
one. So Mr. Hansen's, yeah, Mr. Hansen's story comes to an end right toward the middle of season 5. And you probably saw, as I did, what happened to the actor right around the same time that this episode aired.
No, what happened?
Well, it's interesting that the actor who played Lars Hansen, Carl Swinson, he died 8 days before this actually aired.
Get out of here, this really?
This was completely produced. The voiceover was done and everything. But it's coincidental.
Oh, yeah,
but
of course.
Probably. He was they were realizing he was wrapping up his time, probably. He was 70 years old, which isn't ancient
not old at
or
all.
Anything like that, but, he may have had, they may have known of issues and things like that. So, I think he had he had a heart attack. So, it's possible they were realizing he was, toward the end of being able to act or something, but, that is one of those things that happens a lot of times in show business where things are so coincidental or, you know, it's a little eerie.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think this was a really wonderful last role for him. I always enjoyed him on the show. And, you know, he was definitely sorely missed from the show moving forward.
Things move along, you know, people grow up and we get different types of storylines.
Season 6 brings a lot of a difference anyway.
Like you said earlier, I'm struck by the tonal differences between the two episodes, being a part 1 and part 2. There's just so much going on in the first one. And then we come to the part 2 and it's like, we're back home, but it's dour and slow moving at times. And, it really takes up quite a bit to, and the fact that the running time was so long, they really, I think, could have done this in the regular running time because, I'm pretty sure when they syndicate this, this is edited down to the 48 minutes.
Oh yeah. There's no doubt about it. They do something to combine.
There's space to do that with, but
an hour and 8 minutes and 4 seconds runtime is, it's pretty long, but, all right, man. Well, thank you.
Get our characters back in, Walnut Grove where they belong.
Yeah,
including Albert, so we can move forward with Albert's story as well.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, Chris Cooling from Forgotten.tv, thank you very much for coming on and doing this. Wonderful
two-parter. Thank you for having me. Yes.
We squeezed in a two-parter under an hour.
That's great.
Mission accomplished. And so I always say forgotten.tv, but it's not forgotten.tv. It's mm-hmm. Forgotten TV.
The podcast is Forgotten TV.
Which, and can we find that on iTunes?
You can find it on iTunes or Stitcher. It's hosted on Podbean. So probably whatever you use to listen to shows, it's on there. By the time you are listening to this, the website is forgotten.tv, and of course everything's posted there. So, I make blog posts in addition to the podcast.
Yeah,
so,
I have to visit your site.
There's additional content, but, the show is Forgotten TV. Awesome. Where we talk about short-lived TV shows from the 70s and 80s. So check us out.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to more and more episodes. And all right. Well, hopefully if you're listening to this, you voted on the Walnut Grove cast poll that is on Facebook. So you can find out if we're going to have an Albert Palooza or a Nelly Palooza. Whoever your favorite person is, I guess. You know, is it Albert? Is it Nelly? Who do you want to hear about more and more and more? I think that the Nelly ones will be more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. But the Albert ones, I don't know. They're kind of personal favorites.
Yeah, if you're not on our Facebook group, join it. Walnut Grove Cast.
Yeah, a lot of cool people.
Yeah, had a lot of joining activity today, so... If you're on Facebook, check it out.
All right, Chris. Well, I'll catch you next time, and thank you again.
All right.
Free.